Thank you so much, team, for doing such a wonderful job. I appreciate the ministry of the team and all that they do to lead us in our worship. It is wonderful having such an incredible group of young people who are so talented. Thank you. As you will remember, last Sunday we began to look at the subject of drifting away from the Lord. And we had talked about there were five signs that we were drifting away, and I told you that today we would look at five steps to getting back to where we need to be. I just want to give you a little bit of reminder of the drifting away. We talked about the fact that the first sign is that your devotions begin to be rushed as you don't take time to meditate and reflect on God's Word. The second sign was that secondary, quote unquote, worship services, that's evening, midweek, etc., begin to be sporadically attended if they are attended at all. The third thing is you begin to look at the faults of others in an attempt to justify your own shortcomings. The fourth thing was your prayer life suffers. It becomes kind of rushed and generic. And then the last one was you allow the busyness of life to interfere with your service to the Lord. And folks, as that drift begins to take place, we are further and further and further away from the shoreline of God's kingdom. And so there must be something that takes place to stop that drift. And how can we get back to the central area of where we need to be with the Lord so that He is in full and complete control once again, and we have released our hands? And so this morning I want to share with you how we can stop the drift. And so please bear with me. We're going to be looking at several passages of Scripture today. So I would encourage you to just kind of follow along with your Bibles as we look at this. Let's have a word of prayer as we get started with this. With this very important message. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You right now. And Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. We thank You for the kindness that You demonstrate to us and the compassion, for the great love and for the great care that You take in demonstrating Yourself to us in unique ways. And now, Father, I pray that You would help our minds to be clearly focused upon You, and that You would help us to be totally open to what You have for us today. And Lord, we'll certainly give You thanks and we'll give You praise for this. For it's in Your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. The very first thing in stopping the drift, if you will, is to realize that God will judge us for our drifting. God will judge us. Look with me, if you would, at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. I want you to notice something here. In the first five verses, and I would encourage you to go through the rest of this chapter as well in some spare time. We just don't have the time to be able to work through all of these passages together this morning. But I want you to look as we begin with verse 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, He began saying to His disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, Whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in the inner rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. You see, God is going to be the ultimate judge, and every secret thing that we think is hidden down deep in the heart is going to be plainly revealed at the time of the judgment. Those words that have been spoken out of secrecy, quote unquote, are going to be clearly revealed. Those thoughts that we have had that have been ungodly and not honoring to Christ, is every thought is going to be revealed. You see, it becomes vitally important for us, because when we're in the midst of a drift, and you will remember that we talked about the fact that when we're drifting, we begin to look at someone else and say, well, it's your fault. Or look at that person and try to justify our own ungodly behavior. But God demonstrates in this passage of Scripture that everything is going to be revealed. And so it's important that we begin with that realization. The second thing is that we must return then and repent. We must return and repent. Look at Revelation chapter 2 for a moment. Revelation chapter 2. I want you to notice verses 4 and 5. This is a letter that was written to the church at Ephesus. And this is Jesus speaking. I want you to notice again verses 4 and 5. He has given them some praise on where, what they've done and that kind of thing. But look at verses 4 and 5. He says, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you, and will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent." You see, once we realize that we have drifted and that we are far from what the Lord wants us to be, and we have fallen into those traps and those tricks that Satan has used to try to discourage us and to beat down the body of Christ, once we realize that, we need to return to that point of our failure. And we need to repent of whatever is there. Repentance is absolutely essential. You'll notice that twice in that fifth verse, Jesus talks about this word repentance. Folks, repentance is more than just saying, you know what, I'm sorry. Repentance is being sorry enough to stop. That's what it is. You can't just say, oh, I'm sorry that I did that. You've got to stop doing it. That's what repentance is. It is a turnabout. It is a going in a different direction altogether. And once we have seen where we have drifted from, we need to return, we need to repent and go to that position. And Jesus even says to the church there at Ephesus, he says, look, do the first things all over again. Do the deeds that you did at the first. Some translations say, do the first works all over again. That means that repentance in seeking God's forgiveness is a vital, vital step. But I'm going to tell you, it's not just that, but it's making things right. That becomes vital. Okay, do the first works all over again. The third thing in our stopping our drifting is this. We need to restitute those we have wronged. We need to restitute or make restitution for those things that we have done wrong, and we need to make restitution to those that we have wronged. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, gives us an interesting encounter that Jesus had. Let's look at it. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Verses 1 through 10. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, he being Jesus. And behold, there was a man called by the name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Do you notice what Jesus didn't say? He didn't say, "Oh, Zacchaeus, you don't have to do that." But he acknowledged the fact that within Zacchaeus was genuine repentance and the promise of restitution. Folks, that becomes vitally important. When we have damaged someone, we need to make the restitution for that. When someone has damaged us, we don't just say, "Oh, forget it," because we're not helping them. We need to allow them to do what they need to do honorably. And for some reason, in the modern day church, we have that all messed up because we totally misunderstand the issue of forgiveness, repentance, and restitution. When God genuinely changes an individual's heart, they want to make things right. You notice Jesus' response when Zacchaeus comes down. Jesus' response to him is this: today, salvation has come to this house. Today, salvation has come. Now, what do we know about Jesus? Number one, He is God. Number two, because He is God, He reads the hearts and the minds of man. He knows, number three, whether or not that individual is sincere. And in Zacchaeus, He looks at Zacchaeus and He says, man, this guy's got the goods. He doesn't play games. He isn't impressed with someone saying to him, oh, I'll take care of it, and then have no intention of doing that. Jesus reads the heart, He reads the mind, and He responds with the truth. Today, salvation has come to this house. When we have drifted and we have begun to look at others and try to excuse our indiscretions because of their behavior, quote unquote, or our perception of their behavior. You know, we've heard the rumors, we've listened to the rumors, we have placed our judgments on whether or not those rumors are true. We haven't given them the opportunity to clarify their behaviors or whatever, but we pass the judgments. You know, when that type of a thing begins to take place, it's something that needs to be repented of and taken care of. And we need to make the proper restitution to them. Number four, if we are to stop the drifting, we must resume a walk that is honorable. We must resume a walk that is honorable. Look with me for a moment at the book of 2 Peter. I want you to notice this. I affectionately call this particular passage of Scripture addition by subtraction. You know, when you subtract things, you're actually adding other things. All right? And that's what this passage is about. And as Peter is writing this, we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read through verses 3 through 11, and look at what Peter says here. He says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in other words, focusing every thought, every direction in your life, applying with all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You ought to underline that phrase in your Bible. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. You see, if we are to have a walk with God that is honorable, we need to follow that process that Peter lays out for us. And the promise is, look, if you will do this, if you will add all of these spiritual elements to your life, and you will continue in them, for if you will do these things, if these things are in you and are increasing, you will never fall. You will never fail. Folks, we don't like the hard work and the difficult disciplines that it takes to honor the Lord. We somehow want an easy fix to everything in our lives. But this journey with Jesus Christ is an hour by hour, moment by moment walk. And as we are adding these positive elements to our lives, the negative begins to fall away. And we become more like Christ. And then the fifth thing, if we are to stop the drift, is this. We need to revere the covenant. Revere the covenant. Look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. It's back just a few pages. Hebrews chapter 13, I want you to notice verses 20 and 21. As the writer of Hebrews is closing out this book, he kind of gives this little benediction. But he says this, "Now, the God of peace," verses 20 and 21, "Now, the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and forever." You see, we need to keep that covenant every moment right in front of us. That covenant where we are not simply holding God accountable for his promises, but we are walking in faithful obedience to him. Our tendency, God, you promised that no matter what I go through, no matter what I do, you're going to be there for me. God, I'm going to hold you accountable for that. I'm going to hold you to that covenant. And in the meantime, we walk around not honoring our part, and thinking we can hold God responsible. But you see, a covenant is an agreement between two parties to faithfully follow that agreement. Do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples? He said this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you obey whatsoever I have commanded you." if you obey. Covenant. I will be there for you. I will give you help if you are going to walk faithfully before me. And you see, once we have made these steps towards total restoration, once we have realized that God is going to judge us when we fail, once we repent and return to Him in the proper fashion, once we've made our restitution with those that we have damaged, once we resume that walk, then we need to revere that covenant and to realize that we have as much responsibility in that covenant with God as God has towards us. Folks, you're going to hear, especially if you listen to these TV preachers, you're going to hear constantly that God has a promise that He has made to us and He cannot violate that. You're going to hear that over and over. But it's rare that you're going to hear a TV preacher tell you, but a covenant goes two ways and you have a responsibility to honor God in your walk too. Do we wish to be all that God wants us to be? We have to honor the covenant. We must revere those promises and those pledges that we've made to Him and realize we're as accountable to Him as He is to us. Walk with God. Walk with Him. Coming up in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to start a series here in the church. And I've affectionately entitled it Acceptable Sins in the Eyes of the Church. They are those things that the church just kind of winks at. And folks, one of those things is gossip. And there's going to be a group of sins that we're going to look at over a few weeks of where people think that, well, I'm not hurting anybody else, and so therefore it's okay when it ain't okay. Every thought in secret will be revealed in light. We need to remember that. And so as I encourage you to watch for that series and to kind of plan on being available and letting yourself be who God wants you to be. Let's stand. We're going to close with a word of prayer. I have kept you over. I apologize for that. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, my prayer today is that we will truly recognize that we have a responsibility to You and we have a responsibility to one another to live honorably. Father, keep us from the false teachings of this day. Lord, keep us from falling prey to the wolves who act as though they are wolves of kindness, when in reality they sow doctrines that are damaging. Lord, let us walk before You purely and humbly and honorably. Now, Father, I thank You for each one of these who have come out today and pray that Your Holy Spirit now will bless them in everything that they do and in every step that they take. Thank You, Lord, for meeting with us and giving us Your your blessing in our lives. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day.